Harper Audio presents When Panic Attacks by Dr. David D. Burns. Read by Sam Fried. Copyright 2006 by David D. Burns. Production and abridgment copyright 2006 by HarperCollins Publishers. Disclaimer by the author, David Burns, M.D. This audio is an abridgment of my book, When Panic Attacks. You will hear inspiring stories of people who overcame every type of anxiety. However, this audio is not a substitute for the actual methods presented in the book. If you find the audiobook interesting, I would strongly urge you to take the next step and obtain a copy of When Panic Attacks. There, you will find the techniques presented in a systematic way that can help you overcome your own feelings of anxiety, worry, or panic. You will also find many useful forms and instruments that are absolutely necessary in using these techniques. Of course, neither the book nor the audio should be considered as therapy or as a substitute for therapy. All matters regarding your health require assessment and treatment by a certified mental health professional. But even if you are receiving therapy for a mood or anxiety problem, you may discover that these methods can greatly accelerate your learning. Of course, you should feel free to discuss what you're learning with your therapist. I'm convinced that every person can find a way to defeat anxiety and depression and feel great joy and self-esteem again. I want to wish you the very best as you listen to this audio. Do self-help books actually help anyone? During the past 15 years, Dr. Forrest Scogin and his colleagues from the University of Alabama Medical Center have conducted a series of innovative experiments designed to answer this question. The researchers randomly divided 60 patients seeking treatment for episodes of major depression into two groups. They told both groups of patients that they'd have to wait 4 weeks to see a psychiatrist. In the meantime, they gave each patient in one group a copy of my first book, Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy, and encouraged them to read it during the waiting period. The patients in the second group did not receive the book. A research assistant called all the patients each week and administered two widely used tests that can track changes in depression. The researchers were surprised by the results of their study. At the end of the 4-week waiting period, 2/3 of the patients who read Feeling Good had improved substantially or recovered, even though they did not receive any medications or psychotherapy. In fact, they improved so much that they didn't need any additional treatment. In contrast, the patients who did not receive Feeling Good failed to improve. The researchers then gave them a copy of Feeling Good and asked them to read it during a second 4-week waiting period. 2/3 of them recovered and did not require any additional treatment. Furthermore, the patients who responded to Feeling Good have not relapsed, but have maintained their gains for up to 3 years so far. These were not fly-by-night studies, but studies published in top psychological and medical journals. The researchers concluded that Feeling Good bibliotherapy should be the first line of treatment for most patients suffering from depression because it often works faster than drugs or psychotherapy. The therapy I described in Feeling Good is called cognitive behavior therapy, CBT, because you learn to change the negative thoughts or cognitions that cause the depression, as well as the self-defeating behavior patterns that keep you stuck. But here's the question. Will CBT bibliotherapy be effective for anxiety? If you're suffering from shyness, chronic worrying, panic attacks, phobias, public speaking anxiety, test anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, or obsessive-compulsive disorder, will this recording do you any good? Some encouraging studies suggest that the answer may be yes. Dr. Isaac Marks from the Institute of Psychiatry at the University of London has shown that many individuals can overcome anxiety disorders using CBT techniques without face-to-face psychotherapy or medications. I think it's great news that so many people suffering from depression and anxiety can now be treated quickly and effectively without medications, and that the prognosis for complete recovery is so positive. Whether you're seeing a therapist, taking psychiatric medications, or trying to defeat your fears on your own, the techniques in this recording can be vitally important. The goal is not simply the relief of your symptoms, but a profound transformation in the way you think and feel. Anxiety comes in many different forms. See if you can recognize yourself in any of these patterns. Chronic worrying. You constantly worry about your family, health, career, or finances. Your stomach churns, and it seems as if something bad is about to happen, but you can't figure out exactly what the problem is. Fears and phobias. You may be afraid of needles, blood, heights, driving, flying, water, spiders, snakes, dogs, storms, bridges, or getting trapped in closed spaces. Public speaking anxiety. You get nervous whenever you have to talk in front of a group because you tell yourself, "My mind will go blank and I'll make a complete fool of myself. Everyone will look down on me and think I'm a total neurotic." Shyness. You feel nervous and self-conscious at social gatherings because you tell yourself, "Everyone seems so charming and relaxed. They must think I'm some kind of weirdo or loser. I'm the only one who feels this way. What's wrong with me?" Panic attacks. You experience sudden, terrifying panic attacks that seem to come from out of the blue and strike unexpectedly. You may tell yourself, "I must be having a heart attack. What if I pass out or die? I can't breathe right. What if I suffocate?" You try to hang on for dear life. Before long, the feelings of panic disappear as mysteriously as they came, leaving you bewildered, frightened, and humiliated. You wonder what happened and when it's going to strike again. Agoraphobia. You're afraid of being away from home alone because you think something terrible will happen. Perhaps you'll have a panic attack and there won't be anyone to help you. Obsessions and compulsions. You're plagued by obsessive thoughts that you can't shake from your mind and compulsive urges to perform superstitious rituals to control your fears. Concerns about your appearance. Body dysmorphic disorder. You're consumed by the feeling that there's something grotesque or abnormal about your appearance, even though your friends and family reassure you that you look just fine. You may think that your nose is deformed, your hair is thinning, or your body isn't shaped correctly. You may spend vast amounts of time consulting with plastic surgeons or staring into mirrors trying to correct the defect because you're so convinced that everyone can see how terrible you look. If you're plagued by any of these fears, I have a question for you. What would it be worth to you if I could show you how to overcome them? Imagine for a moment that you had to give a talk or take an important test tomorrow, and you could go to bed tonight without that knot in your stomach, feeling confident and relaxed. If you're lonely and struggling with shyness, what would it be worth to you to feel relaxed and spontaneous around other people so you could easily engage anyone, anywhere, in a rewarding conversation? And if you're suffering from phobias, panic attacks, or obsessions and compulsions, what would it be worth to you if I could show you how to defeat these fears for good? These goals may seem impossible, especially if you've been struggling with anxiety or depression for years, but I'm convinced that you can defeat your fears without pills or lengthy therapy. All you'll need is a little courage, your own common sense, and the techniques in this recording. There are many theories about the causes and cures of anxiety, but we'll focus on three of them.